Continuing, I'm Shvui Lamed Hey Amid Beis. Okay, what I'm going to be saying tonight, B'Shem Omro, so I got from, it's going to be the Rav's Torah. This Sefer is put out by an old and dear friend of mine, Moshe Nechemiah Reichman, Rabbi Reichman, son of, probably know his father, Rabbi Heshi Reichman. So he now, Moshe Nechemiah learned with me in Yeshiva, and now he's a Rebbe in Torah Shraga. A tremendous Talmid Chacham, tremendous. Also, I like him because he's my height. So for that alone, you know, he's exceptional. But anyway, he's really tremendous, and he put out. I think he did it with his father, but it's Moshe Nechemiah. So he put out a sefer for the Rav's Torah. So like me, by the way, both of us are too young to learn by the Rav. We didn't overlap. Rav stopped saying Shir in YU in the 80s. I started YU in the 89. So anyway, Moshe Nechemiah learned by his father. His father was the Talmud of the Rav for many years. Okay. Anyway, so hopefully I'll communicate the idea as clearly as possible. The Gemara in Lamed Hamad Bay starts off a discussion about making bracha on olive oil. As you already listened to the Bekiyas of the Gemara, you know that the Gemara is bothered because when we have grapes and you convert it into wine, so there's a special bracha. You upgraded the grapes. You made it into a much qualitatively better item. And so therefore, the bracha gets upgraded. You make a bar drag off it. So the Gemara wants to know, why don't we say the same thing by oil? In other words, the olives are good, but then you convert it into oil, and that's much more exciting. Olive oil, that's super exciting. So why isn't there a special bracha for that? So the Gemara has answers, and the Gemara goes through a whole give and take in terms of the nature of wine versus the nature of oil. Okay. And then the Gemara goes and says as follows, and I'm just going to quickly run through the Gemara. Gemara spills over into the Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, but I'm still calling this Lamed Hamad Bey. Goof of the Gemara starts off. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, Bechinam, Rav Yitzchak, I'm Rav Yochanan, Shem and Zayis, Mevarchin Alav Bor Pirei. So if you're going to be drinking Shem and Zayis, so the bracha you're going to make is a Bor Pirei. So right, why not? In other words, it comes from the ground. Now, granted, by the way, you liquefied it, you turn to its liquid form, but still, it's a fruit. So Hechidami. Now the Gemara says, now exactly what are the parameters? What exactly are you going to be doing drinking olive oil? So in my lifetime, I've never decided or elected, and I don't know people who would do so as well, who decide, you know what, this morning I'm going to have olive oil. Instead of orange juice, instead of apple juice, I'll have olive oil. Why not? So drink the olive oil. So hey, chidam, ilay medikas shatilay. So the Gemara says, are we talking about somebody who's going to be drinking the olive oil? So zuki mazikle. So that's dangerous. It's harmful. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa, shos Hashem and shol truma. Now the Gemara over here turns its attention to the following halacha. We're talking about truma now, so the halacha is as follows. Truma, of course, is kedusha, and therefore can only be eaten by kohanim. Non-kohanim cannot eat truma. A non-kohanim were to eat truma, so that is an isur gamor, misa bidei shemayim. So it's a really serious offense. If a non-kohanim were to eat truma, so and he does a shogeg, so he has to make restitution. He has to pay back the full value of that which he ate, and on top of that also, he also has to add a chomish as well. He has to add a fifth. The fifth in halacha comes out to be 25%. You could ask me about the math later on. But anyway. So let's say you do the following. So you drink shemen, shel truma. You're not a kohen, you're a czar. So you're going to be paying keren, you're going to be paying its principal value, but you're not going to be paying chomish. Sach shemen shel truma. Now, if you take the shemen shel truma and you rub it into your skin, so masham is keren, masham is a chomish. So that's considered normal consumption for olive oil. Olive oil is meant to be rubbed into your skin. And that is what's called sicha. Sicha in many areas in halacha is considered like shtiyah. And so therefore, that's considered consumption. And now you've quote-unquote eaten the truma, you're a czar, you did a bishogig, now you have to pay keren and chomish, the principal value, and also another 25% on that. So the Gemara is clearly telling us, teaching us, that by drinking olive oil, that's not considered achila. Had it been considered achila, so then you would have to be paying keren b'chomish. By virtue of the fact that you're not paying keren b'chomish, it's clearly not a achila, it's not considered shtiyah. Why do you pay keren at all? So the answer is very simple, because you're a mazik. Meaning even though you weren't considered an ochel, you didn't eat it, but nevertheless you were a mazik, you damaged something that belonged to the kohanim, so you have to pay, you have to make restitution. So you pay keren, but you don't pay chomish. So the Gemara goes on, so the Gemara first suggests, well, maybe you're eating the olive oil together with bread. Eating with bread, well, we all know the rules, we're going to see it many times throughout this perek, and that's the rule of Iker V'Tafel. When I'm eating two foods together, and there is a main and there's an ancillary, so the bracha is on the main, not on the ancillary. It's the Mishnah coming up later in the perek, that when you eat Iker V'Tafel, so the bracha is on the Iker, not on the Tafel. So the Gemara says, well, you blended it. You blended the olive oil together in some sort of soup, beet soup. So my anigron is borscht, right? And aniskaron, my dekul shalke, and some other kind of stew. In kain habale anigron, ikur v'shem and tafel. So the Gemara says, doesn't that bring us back to the problem of ikur v'tafel? The tanan zekal kushu ikur v'imot tfeilo, mevarachol ikur potar tfeilo. And again, we run into the same problem. Where am I going to be making a bracha on the shem and zayis? The shem and zayis in this construct is also just but the tfeilo. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll try to give another ukimta b'choshish b'grona. Well, the truth of the matter is that you're really more interested in the olive oil because your throat's hurting you right now, and so the olive oil is going to be really therapeutic to your throat. So if you have some sort of ailment of the throat, so you cannot put this mixture together on Shabbos, it's a refuah. But what you can do is that you can mix it together with the anigron, some sort of stew, and then you're going to swallow it. So pshita, the Gemara says, ma'od etem and kevin dolefru kamachavin. Now the Gemara says, under these circumstances, I might have thought that the main intent was for refuah, so lo levarach la'eklau, so therefore no bracha should be made on it at all, kamash molan. So the chiddush is, kevin deislei hana, minei bai bruche. So because you're getting hana now from the olive oil, and because right now you're interested more in the olive oil than you are in the stew, so the olive oil now has become the ikar, has assumed the status of the ikar, so under those circumstances you make a bracha, and the correct bracha is a bor pir gafin. Okay. Thank you. Bore Priya. Okay, good. Okay, so Adkan Divrei Gemara, that takes us now to the end of the Gemara. And so I'm going to ask a simple question, and you'll see the answer is not going to be so simple. So now you drink olive oil, okay, by itself, not as part of borscht, not as part of any kind of stew, but you're going to drink the olive oil by itself. So clearly, here's what we know for sure: you're not going to make a Bore Priya. That part's clear. Are you going to make any bracha? Is there any bracha to be made if you're just going to be drinking the olive oil by itself? Yes, the Gemara does say that. I'm in agreement. Okay. So, okay, good. Good, we're on the same page, literally. Literally. So Rashi on the Gemara. So Rashi writes, and I quote the Rashi over here on the Marma Kama, Sazuki Mazik Lagufe, it's damaging to your body. And so therefore this is not an achila, and therefore no bracha is necessary. So by bracha, the Torah, the pasuk says v'achalta. Now it's interesting, Rashi quotes the pasuk regarding birkas hamazon, but it's the same idea, meaning that in order for to warrant any kind of bracha rishona, bracha achrona, so it has to be an achila. This is not constitute an achila, and so therefore no bracha whatsoever. The riff, I'm not going to go through it right now. I'm not going to read the riff right now. The riff agrees. In fact, you can look at the last lines of the riff that I quote. The Shatilei Mashiach Azuki Mazik Legumah Mevarachala. You don't make a bracha on it altogether. Okay, Shitas Rashi, Shitas Arif, is that there's no bracha if you're going to be just drinking olive oil by itself. Okay, because it's not achila. What do you mean in terms of? Yeah. I understand, but it has to be.
My purpose in drinking this anigron is to.
Forgive me. If I wasn't clear enough. When I'm not talking about a negron. No, but I'm not talking about a negron. I'm just talking about olive oil.
I ingested the oil alone.
Right. Right.
It's not a derech, I'm doing it, but I'm happy. I'm satisfied.
Good. It's very good. It's very good. The Gemara says, as Dr. Goldenberg pointed out, the Gemara says, Azuki Mazik, it's damaging. Okay. Anyway, good. It's hard to argue with Rashi, meaning we're going to argue with Rashi, but that's what Rashi says. Okay, good. Okay, so again, let's just go. I'm going to go through the Makoros. Okay, so Rashi says there's no bracha. Rif says there's no bracha. Okay, and who's on the other side of this? So the Rambam's on the other side of this. Okay, you'll be much happier with the Rambam. So the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Ches Halacha Aleph, Tochei Peres Vahosi Mei Mashkin. So you squeeze fruit and you take out the juice from the fruit. Mevarchalem Betchila Shakol. Uvisof Beri Nefashos. So orange juice, apple juice, any juice, more or less any juice, so a shakal on the front end, bar nefashos on the back end. Chutz min ha'navim v'azesim, sh'al ha'yayin, hu mevarach bar pri agafen, v'sof bracha achas men shal. So if you're drinking wine, so the bar pri agafen precedes it, and bracha achas me'in shalosh, al hagefen is going to come after. V'al ha'shemen b'tchila, hu mevarach bar pri ha'etz. Now, as far as shemen is concerned, so the correct bracha is bar pri ha'etz. But of course, the Rambam knows the Gemara, and the Rambam qualifies by medvar. When is that true? Shaya choshes begrona. So he gives the ukim to the Gemara gives. We're talking about a scenario where your throat's really hurting. B'shasim and Hashemin im me'ashlakos. And what you did is you made a solution. You put a little bit of olive oil together with me'ashlakos. Be'kayotze ben shari nena b'shiyaso. And now there's hana. And because you're choshes begrona, your ikar is on the shemen. And so therefore, bor priyei. But the Rambam goes on, but what if you drink the olive oil by itself? Or your throat wasn't bothering you. You just enjoy a little bit of olive oil in your borscht. So under those circumstances, so the Rambam says, you're going to make it a shakel, because you didn't benefit from the tam hashem. Okay, good. So what we have right now is really a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. And the Rif, interestingly enough, by the way, is on Rashi's side. Instead, Rif comes two Ravain before Rambam. But Rashi and the Rif against the Rambam. So if you're drinking olive oil by itself, so Rashi says, no bracha. You don't want no bracha is warranted. And the Rambam says, no, that's not true. There is a bracha that you're going to make, but the bracha that you're going to make is going to make a shakel if you're drinking the olive oil by itself. Okay, so what we're going to try to do in the next couple of minutes together is we're going to try to get a shot in the Rambam. Why for the Rambam do you make a shakel? I think Rashi is just a little easier to understand and digest, pun intended. I think Rashi is a little bit easier because, as Dr. Goldenberg points out, the Gemara is very clear. Gemara says you're going to drink olive oil alone, azuki mazik. It's damaging. So something which is damaging, you're not going to make a bracha on something which damages you, although it is a food. But okay, but Rashi's position is, but there's no bracha. It's not something which is an achila. The Rambam, just give me a moment. The Rambam says, no, you make a shakel. So what's the pshat behind the Rambam? In other words, and let's just amplify the question just a little bit. Meaning, if the Rambam holds an achila, so then that means what are you eating? You're eating shemen zayis, you're eating olives. I understand the product of olives, it's olive oil, but still it's olives. So if he feels that's an achila, so then make a bar prey. And if it's not an achila, so then go back to Rashi and say no bracha whatsoever. So the Rambam over here has this middle ground. You're going to be making a shakel. So what's behind the sheet of the Rambam? Okay, so here now we start. So again, this is the Rav's Torah, and taught over to me by my friend Rabbi Reichman. So the Rav, when analyzing this question, so he says as follows. Well, from the Gemara, what has become clear? The Gemara created a correlation between two halakhas. One, the bracha rishona that you're going to be making on a food, and two, what constitutes achila regarding truma. Right? So the Gemara says it. We went to the Gemara inside. Now, in terms of achilas truma, so what do we know regarding achilas truma? So if you're a kohen and you're given truma to eat, so you have to eat it. And you have to eat it in a way in which is very specific and very particular. Now, what do I mean by that? So we're going to see the Rambam inside. The Rambam over here articulates exactly how one is to eat truma. Now, I understand the Gemara was talking about the Tzar eating truma, but it's going to basically go hand in hand. Meaning, whenever the Tzar is going to have a liability of Karen V'chomish, that's because he was Ochel. He ate the truma. So, but if it's not an achila, so then you don't pay Karen V'chomish. Again, you're a mazik. You're going to be paying the principal. But clearly from the Gemara also is basically discussing the same point, that there's a correlation between the bracha rishona and that of achilas truma. So the Rambam writes the following. I quote the Rambam inside Hilchos Truma, Perek Yud Aleph. Hatruma nitanas la'achila ulishtia ulasicha. She'asicha hi kishtia shenemra v'tavo kamayim b'kabocha shemen ba'atmosah. Good. So when you're the recipient of truma, so you're going to be doing the following. You're going to be eating, drinking, and absorbing, rubbing it into your skin. Now, the words of the Rambam are very careful, and I'm going to read them even more carefully. The Rambam is very clear now as he outlines exactly how it's supposed to be done. Now, that means as follows. That in order for there to be an achilas truma, so you have to eat something which is normally eaten. You have to drink something that's normally drunk. And you have to rub into your skin something that's normally rubbed into your skin. So let's say, for example, that the Kohen receives truma and decides, you know what, let's try this out. I'm going to rub some wine into my skin. That's not normal. That's not how wine is normally ingested. The normal ingesting of wine is through shtia. But what a Kohen does is he can take the Shemen Torah and he rubs it into his skin, because that's the normal way in which we imbibe Shemen. Now, if the oil becomes Tameh, Truma oil becomes Tameh, so this is Truma Tameh, and what you could do, what the Kohen can do with that, is he could use that for fuel and illumination. Good. Rambam over here clearly saying that when it comes to Truma and the Achilas Truma, so it has to be done, and we're going to, the expression is my own, and might not be correct, but still, it has to be normal usage. In other words, normal consumption. If you try to ingest truma in a way which is not normal consumption, so you have not, the Kohen has not fulfilled the mitzvah of achilas truma. Achilas truma, by definition, has to be where it's done by normal consumption. Okay. So now over here, so let's consider. when the Gemara now correlates halachas of Truma and Bach Rishona, what the Gemara is basically telling us is that whatever defines itself regarding ingestion and eating vis-a-vis Truma is also going to define itself regarding what demands a Bracha Rishona. Now, let's consider. We're talking now about drinking olive oil. So is that normal? Is that the achila hanitenis? Is that the way it's normally consumed? Of course, the answer is no. Now, I know the Rambam doesn't spell it out, but the Rambam basically lines it up. Oh, wine is drunk. You can't rub wine into your skin. Oil is rubbed into your skin. You don't drink oil. You don't drink olive oil. So clearly the Rambam is outlining that when it comes to Truma, it has to be normal consumption. Oh. Now, vis-a-vis the halachas of achila, which shaloki derech achila, that you're eating something in an abnormal way, so there really are levels of shaloki derech achila. The Rambam in the next series of halachas, I'm not going to read them inside, you can see them inside yourself, but the Rambam basically says that if you're doing something in such an abnormal way, that's not an achila at all. But over here, by Truma, we're making a much more subtler point. In other words, it's not that we're doing so in a totally abnormal way. We're just doing it in a way which is not the common usage. It's not the common consumption. It's not the normal consumption. So we're not going to say over here that when it comes to drinking olive oil, we're not going to say it's shaloka derech achila. What we're really going to say is that it's not normally consumed in this manner. Because the Gemara now lines up the halachas of Bracha Rishona to the halachas of Truma and what is considered achila regarding Truma, so basically it means like this. When is it exactly that you're supposed to be making the Bracha Rishona? And when I say Bracha Rishona, I mean specific Bracha Rishona, meaning for vegetables, a Bar Priya Adama, for fruit, a Bar Priya Eitz, for wine, a Bar Priya Gafen. When is it that when the halacha demands a unique and specific Bracha Rishona? That is when you are ingesting it in the normal way in which it's ingested, meaning just like Truma. Truma has to be ingested and consumed in a normal manner, and the same thing is true regarding Bracha Rishona. So, if olive oil is drunk, this is not shtia hanisenis. This is not the normal way in which olive oil is drunk. And so therefore the Rambam says, okay, so fine. So what we're going to do, for sure not bar pireis, meaning because it doesn't fulfill the achila requirement regarding Truma, it doesn't demand a specific Bracha Rishona vis-a-vis bar pireis. Good. So that's why the Rambam's understanding is that Bar Priyates is off the table. Okay, but that's off the table. But what's still open is that this is not Shaloka Derech Achila, meaning this is not a non-eating event. It is an eating event, just not a Truma eating event. So that means to say is what? It means basically that you're eating, but you're doing so in a manner that doesn't demand a unique bracha. But it's still consumption. And so therefore the Rambam says, okay, so if I'm now eating something which is not an eating event vis-a-vis Truma, and it's not an eating event vis-a-vis a specific Bracha Rishona, but it's still an eating event, therefore, Shahakal. So therefore you're going to make the Bracha of Shahakal. And how do we know this? How do we see this? Where can we clearly indicate? There are many riots that this is in fact so. The Shahakal is going to be a Bracha that's made, even though the eating event is done in a slightly unusual manner. I'm going to quote the Gemara and Brachas that we're going to see a little bit later on in the Amud Shvuli and Lamed Chesam Ad Beis. That was Rav Chista Mishum Rabbeinu. It's on the next side. Umanu Rab. Shlokas Mevarchim Alei and Bar Priya Adama. So when you have a cooked stew, so the Brachas is Bar Priya Adama. Rabba Sena Yordim Eretz Yisrael Manu Ula Mishmeidu Rav Yochanan Amar Shlokas Mevarchim Alei Shakol Nia Bedvar. Ve'ani Omer Kol Shet Chilas Bar Priya Adama Shlokas Shakol Nia Bedvar. Ve'chol Shet Chilas Shakol Nia Bedvar Shlokas Bar Priya Adama. So when it comes to vegetables, so actually the bracha that we're going to make on the vegetable is going to be dependent on the normal way it's consumed. So let's say, for example, well, look at what I was going to say. So I don't have to create any kind of creative example. Fish, lama kosher tzkolasa shakol niyebet varo shakol bari pri adama mishkachol bekarcha besilka bekra. So let's say, for example, says the Gemara, we're talking about hard root vegetables, like a beet, for example. Okay, so the eating of a beet in its raw state. Who would do that? Meaning, who eats that way? Good. So in other words, so in the raw state, so the Gemara says very clearly, so what's the proper bracha? Proper bracha shakal. Because that's not how a beet is eaten. A beet is not eaten in its raw state. But once you cook it, and that's now the normal way in which it's consumed, so then the Gemara says, okay, good. Bar Priya Adama. Well, so what are we learning together from this Gemara? So the Rav points out what we're learning from this Gemara is as follows. Is that, again, we go back to our Truma model. When I'm eating something in the normal manner in which it's consumed, So now it receives its unique bracha. If it's a vegetable, so you make a bar priya adama. If it had been a fruit, a bar priya eats. Ah, but what if you're not eating in the normal way, but it's still an eating event? Oh, very good. So the Gemara tells us, I eat a beet that's raw. Not normal, but in other words, it's not shaloki derech achila. It's not that I'm doing something which is just patently absurd. I'm eating something, it's an eating event, but it's not the way it's normally done. What does the Gemara teach us? Ah, shahakli. Right. Because when I'm eating something, even though it's in a slightly unusual manner, okay, good, so the unique bracha is not the appropriate bracha, but still, a bracha is appropriate, and specifically the bracha of shahakol. The Rav says shahakol, that's the bracha a person makes when he is eating. Okay, you're not going to be making the special bracha, the unique bracha, bor priya gefen, bor priya eitz, bor priya adama, but still, shahakol is designed for the eating event. And so when I'm doing something which is slightly deviant from the normal way it's consumed, so you make a shahakol. In fact, if you look at Rashi over there in the Gemara, I quote the Rashi, Yerek she'in darko le'alcho chai. It's not normal to eat a vegetable, these root vegetables, in the raw state. She'mitzkilas le'imachlo chai sha'akol mevare. So you make a sha'akol. Good, so that's the appropriate bracha. Good, wonderful. So now going back to the Shitas HaRambam, Shitas HaRambam now is very good. Meaning the Shitas HaRambam is, look, when I'm drinking olive oil, so now what? So because now we're in a position where the Gemara correlates it to the halachas of Truma. And by Truma, we know that in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas Truma, you must be eating the Truma in the way that it's normally consumed. So the same thing is true regarding bracha rishona. Specifically, bracha rishona of the specific nature. If it's a vegetable, bar priya adama. If it's a fruit, bar priya eitz, et cetera, et cetera. But once I'm deviating just a little bit, I'm not all the way at the point of it's shaloki derech achila, meaning it's such an unusual way to eat it. It's still a consumption, it's an eating, but it's slightly deviant from the way I normally do so, fine. So it doesn't warrant a bracha rishona in the unique status, but still, shahakol. You have to make a bracha of shahakol. And so that would be the Shita of the Rambam. Meaning that explains the Shita of the Rambam beautifully. The Rambam now says that under those circumstances, you're going to be making a bracha of shahakol because it's still an eating event, despite the fact that it's not going to get receiving its unique bracha. Good. That explains the Shita of the Rambam. Now let's go back to Rashi. Then what would Rashi say? So lechora, what would Rashi say? I mean, it goes back to what we said in the beginning of Shir. But now when you're really speaking out these categories of achila hanitenes, achila which is slightly deviant, and mamish lo kederech achila, so what Rashi would probably do now, well not probably, I mean, you're kind of forced to say this, is that Rashi would say that the drinking of olive oil is not in that middle category of slightly deviant, but drinking of the olive oil is mamish, it's not achila at all. In fact, I mean, that's the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, azuke mazik. The Gemara says it's damaging when you drink olive oil in this manner, where you're drinking it undiluted, just olive oil. It's damaging. Rashi on the Gemara writes, azuke mazik legufe, meaning it damages your body. Ve'ein ze'achila shetuna bracha. Mamish na nechila. So basically, the machlokas between the Rashi and the Rambam over here is we know that people don't normally drink olive oil, but how far are we from what is considered normal usage, standard usage? But the Rambam just drops it one level. He just drops it to the level of ishloki derech achila, but not in a totally deviant and abnormal way, just so that it doesn't demand the specific bracha rishona, but still needing events, and therefore you make a shakel. Masha Enkin, according to Rashi, Rashi's going to tell you no. When the Gemara says zuke mazik, what the Gemara means by that is that it's mamish, it's damaging to the body. It's mamish lo kederech achila, and under those circumstances, you're not going to be making a bracha at all. Okay, so.
It's more possible that Rashi doesn't hold them. Maybe Rashi says there's only two categories, eating and not eating.
Right, right.
This is just, I'm not eating.
Right, right. That. Right, the introduction of this middle category really works well for the Rambam.
For sure.
Enochin. Right, the, right.
About eating raw vegetables, like cabbage.
You have to handle
that.
What happens if you do a regular achila? That's damaging, like olive oil? Huh?
No, I'm...
Okay, fine.
I'm going to get an upset.
Right.
I have an allergy to milk. I'm drinking regular milk. What problem
can I make? Okay, good. It's a good question. I don't know the answer.
People don't have that problem.
I don't know the answer. But anyway, so let's just quickly recap. So the Gemara says that drinking olive oil by itself, the Gemara says, is not a bor priya eitz. The only time you make a bor priya eitz is very limited circumstance. You're drinking the olive oil with a solution of some other vegetable stew, either beet stew or some other vegetable stew, and you're choshish begrona, which means that your ikar is on the olive oil, but you can't drink olive oil by itself. So when you cut it up and you add it to a solution, so under those circumstances, so that would be the circumstance in which the olive oil now is drunk to your benefit, and it's something which people drink, so under those circumstances, bar priyates. Otherwise, the Gemara says, it's not going to be a bar priyates. Okay, it's not going to be a bar priyates. Is there any bracha to make on it? So it's a machlokas harishonim. The Rashi and the Rif say that, mamish, you're not going to make any bracha if you're just drinking undiluted olive oil. There's no bracha whatsoever. And the Rambam says, no. The Rambam says, you don't make a bar priyates, but you make a shakal. And what we suggested over the course of this evening is that this machlokas between the Rashi and the Rambam may be connected, I mean, the Gemara makes the connection very clear, may be connected to this middle category that we're creating in terms of, by Achilas Truma, Achilas Truma demands that it has to be eaten in the normal consumed fashion, in the way that it's normally eaten. And if it's not Achila Hanitanis, that's the Lashon of the Rambam, so then for Truma, it's not going to be a mitzvah. For Bracha Rishona, you don't make a Bracha Rishona, meaning the classic Bracha Rishona that you make. But it's still an eating event. So the Rambam introduces us to this idea of Shahakol. And the Rav explains that because even though by the standards of Truma, it has to be for Truma and for Bracha Rishona, for the specific Bracha Rishona, it has to be Derech Hanitanis, Achila Hanitanis. It has to be the normal event, but still, if it's not the normal event, but it's still some form of Achila, so you're going to be making a Shahakol. Shahakol is just simply on the benefit and enjoyment that you get from the food, even though the standard Bracha Rishona is not going to be enforced. Good. And this shot in the Rambam speaks out very clearly in the Halachas of Truma that we learned, and the and also speaks out very clearly from the Gemara in Lamed Ches. Eating a raw vegetable, shahakol, a raw root vegetable that people normally don't eat. That's a shahakol, you cook it, you make adama. It really speaks to this idea of a achila hanitenes, the way it's normally consumed. Achila, which is still an achila, but not the way it's normally consumed. So this split between the unique bracha versus the generic bracha of shahakol really speaks out very well in that Gemara in Lamed Ches. And it would be a very good way of understanding the Rambam. And Rashi, we set up shot in terms of why Rashi disagreed.